You're listening to Essential Church Planting Week on the New Church's Q&A podcast. Well, we are now at episode 50 on the podcast,
Todd. 50! All right.
Woo! We'll do some sound effects.
What is that one? What's the 50th anniversary? Is that like gold?
I have no idea.
I don't know. Yeah. Do they do that in Canada? Yeah. Like where you're
yeah,
supposed
they do that
to
in Canada. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, okay, so if you haven't noticed it already, the intro is a little bit different because we're going to be doing something special for this 50th anniversary
week.
Week
long.
So we're going to do 5 episodes. A while back, we launched our premier church planting course on newchurches.com. It's called Essential Church Planting, and we've received such a positive response from those who've watched it that we wanted to bring a bit of the course to you here on the podcast. So over the next 5 episodes, we will be playing parts of the course. And today we're actually going to be starting with missional living as a church planter with Jeff Vanderstelt.
I love Vanderstelt.
Yeah. I mean, we've worked with him quite a bit in the past. And
Okay. So here's the bottom line. I mean, we get to hang out with different people at different conferences. We do a lot of training and development through Ministry Grid and new churches as well. So we get exposed to a lot of different speakers and, you know, most of them are great guys, but Vanderstelt is so beyond legit and
yeah,
he is who he is on stage, off stage.
He's confident, but he's so humble.
I love
right?
him.
And he just has these strong convictions about the gospel, about ministry, about being a missionary, which is why as we invited him to be a part of this course, we said, okay, what could he uniquely speak to? What does he embody, you know, the years of experience, what he's done at Soma, and now at Doxa, like, what does he embody? And it really is, he's a missionary here in the West. So that's what we asked him to talk about, planting with a missionary mindset, leading as a missionary. And tomorrow, we're going to be bringing you content from Sean Lovejoy on developing your core group. The day after, it'll be multi-ethnic planting and leading with Duren Gray. And then we'll finish off the week with 2 days from the one and only Ed Stetzer.
Boom.
Well, now, if this content wasn't good enough, we decided to do something like... it's kind of like the 12 days of Christmas.
Only five.
So every day during this essential church planting week, there's going to be a different deal.
Giveaway.
Okay, so it's going to be like five days. Yeah, it'll be kind of like a giveaway, but it'll be like the 5 days of essential church planting where every day there's going to be a unique and special deal that will expire at midnight central time. So we wanted to start big.
Big?
We're going to start big today. So today, if you go to newchurches.com/essentialchurchplanting and purchase a course, we're going to be giving you 10% off the purchase price.
Okay.
Which is about $50-ish. And the first 10 to purchase today, they're also going to get a limited edition Bluetooth speaker. A new church's one, which is not only a Bluetooth speaker, but it doubles as a portable charger as well. Well, later on in the episode, we're going to be giving you a coupon code, so make sure that you stay tuned and look for that coupon code. But without further delay, here is Jeff Vanderstelt on missional living as a church planter.
When Jesus gave us this great commission, he said, go and make disciples of all nations. If we're not careful, we might misunderstand that as going being a thing that you do once in a while. But the actual language, if we were to take it apart, we would realize he's saying, while you're going, make disciples, which assumes that we're learning how to make disciples in the everyday stuff of life. If you're going to be a church planter, you've got to start thinking like a missionary who's engaging in the everyday stuff of life in the context that you're sent into in order to actually make disciples who make disciples. Of course, if you want to plant a church that's primarily a church service that just attracts a lot of Christians to hear another preacher preach, then you may not have to learn how to be a good missionary. You may not have to learn how to engage in incarnational ministry, incarnational mission. But if you're going to go to a people group that doesn't know Jesus, is not attending a church, will likely not come to a church gathering, you're going to have to learn incarnational ministry. You're going to have to learn how to think like a missionary. And a missionary knows that their job is to go into a culture, understand the language and systems and structures of the culture, and then begin to engage in the everyday rhythms of life in that culture. Just pragmatically, you're going to have to learn to do that if you're going to lead anybody to Christ. But let me say it another way. If you want to actually make disciples in a context, you'll have to be incarnational, because you actually have to show them what it looks like to follow Jesus in that city, in the stuff of life they're already engaged in. They won't learn how to be disciples of Jesus, following Jesus in the everyday stuff of life, if their only picture of discipleship is an event on Sunday that they have to attend and primarily listen to a message being delivered. They're going to have to see you walk into their life to bring the truths of Jesus into everyday stuff so they could know, one, what it looks like to follow Jesus in their context, but two, what it would look like if they became a disciple of Jesus in their context. Another way to think about it is discipleship is leading people to increasingly submit all of life to the empowering lordship and presence of Jesus Christ where they're at in their situation. And therefore, if we're going to make disciples who make disciples, we're going to have to actually engage in the context where the disciples live so they can learn what it's like to follow Jesus where they're at. Think of it this way. Discipleship is really leading them to live the life that Jesus would live if he was in their body, in their context, in their situation. So what I want to do is talk through, how do we begin to embrace the mindset of a missionary, engage in the context and culture that we're being sent to, in such a way that we can lead people to be disciples of Jesus in that context. First thing you're going to have to really embrace is this idea that there are natural rhythms of life that are going on in the culture that you're being sent to. Those rhythms aren't anything unique or different. In fact, they're generally the same thing everywhere. It's where do they eat? How often do they eat? What do they eat? What kinds of celebrations do they engage in? How do they engage in rest and work and play? What kinds of things do they gather around? What do they make space for? What form the daily rhythms, the weekly rhythms, the monthly rhythms, the yearly rhythms of life in that culture and that context? If you're going to be a missionary then, as you join them in that culture, you will then have to also join them in many of those rhythms, but do it in a way that shows them how Jesus would live in that culture and in that context. So in order to be a good missionary, I'm going to be amongst them in their rhythms, showing them what it looks like to follow Jesus, and then showing them what they would do if they were to follow Jesus in that context. So you'll have to identify the regular rhythms. When I first moved to Tacoma and began to wrestle with how could I be a good missionary in Tacoma, part of what I had to figure out is where in Tacoma is God sending me? At the very beginning for me, it was the downtown corridor by the University of Washington in Tacoma, which meant that there were a variety of restaurants and coffee shops and just kind of local hang spots that people would go to regularly. And I made those a rhythm of my life. I would go to the same coffee shop over and over and over again. I'd go to the same restaurants pretty regularly. My goal was, as I'm there, get to know the rhythms of the life of the people, get to know the names and stories of the people, and then figure out how can I engage in blessing those people. So I'd eat there, I'd listen well, I'd pay attention to their celebrations, I'd engage in some of those extracurricular activities with them. And while I was doing it and I was listening to know their story. And as I got to know their story, I found out the deep longings of their heart, which I knew the gospel could speak into. And then as a good missionary, I'm thinking, how do I share the gospel uniquely to the rhythms, or I'm sorry, to the longings of their heart in that situation? Also, what I was looking for are the needs. So the longings and the need. What's the longing of the heart that the gospel speaks to? What's the need that we can physically meet so that they can see a picture of what Jesus is like? In fact, that's a big part of what incarnational ministry is we're saying, what does God look like in flesh? Because that's what Jesus did. He came to show us what the Father's like. And we now, as the body of Christ, show up in a city to show a city what Jesus is like as we embody the truths of the gospel in real, tangible forms of service and care. And so I was visiting this one restaurant pretty regularly. In fact, little side note, if you're planting a church with a team, maybe you got a core group that you're starting with, I'd encourage you to not do many of the things I'm about to talk about alone, but rather bring someone along with you, because part of the incarnational ministry is not only that you're training someone how to engage in incarnational ministry, but you're actually showing the world what the love of God looks like in our relationship to one another. Like Jesus said in John 13, they'll know you're my disciples by your love for one another. So I would go regularly to the same lunch spot. I'd have a couple, one or two guys that I was developing, discipling with me. And every time I went, I was mindful of what it looks like to show the truth of what Jesus is like in that restaurant, which meant I would ask myself, what do I know to be true of the gospel? And if they were going to see the gospel on display in my life, what would I do to show it? Well, one very easy way to do it for me was I was just going to tip really well, because in the gospel, we see God's radical generosity given to us in his son. And so I knew that when I tip well, I was giving a picture of the generosity of God through my tipping. And so I was always over the top, just continually doing it. And I just did this every single time that I would come to this restaurant. And, you know, it's kind of funny because people would know I was coming and then they would want my table because they knew I was going to give them a good tip. Well, the other thing I did is I would regularly engage with a waiter or a waitress and ask them questions. How's your day going? I'd remember something from the last time I was with them, maybe a story they told or a concern they had or a struggle they were going through. Because what I found was if I was consistent, generous, and had open ears, they were willing to start to share. There's this one waitress that I got to know over several months of going to the same restaurant over and over and over again. And I remember one day when I sat down with my friend and she came up to the table, I said, how are you doing today? And she stopped and she said, you know what? I'm going to tell you the truth this time. And I said, why? She goes, well, I'm convinced you actually care. And then she just started to tear up. And as she teared up, she told me about her journey of moving to Tacoma from another state. She didn't know anybody. She was working two jobs. She had bought a house for pretty low price, thinking she could fix it up and remodel the whole place. But she said, I go home every night and I cry because I'm overwhelmed. There's so much stuff I don't know how to do. I've got boxes of tile and ripped up floors and walls that are torn down. And I just go home and cry at night because I don't know how to begin remodeling this house. And I know nobody to know how to ask for help. And I said, you know what? Today is a perfect day for you because I'm connected to a whole bunch of guys who love to work on homes. We would love to come on over and just serve you if you're open to that. And she just broke into tears. Said, I can't believe anybody would be willing to do that. So what am I doing? I'm engaging in incarnational ministry, eating in a place regularly, listening with my ears wide open, showing the truths of the gospel through tipping, and now a big open door shows up. And I get to then step through that door with the help of a group of people, which were my core group, to come in and help her. And we began to work in her house and lay tile and fix walls and eventually remodel that house. And it wasn't very long after that that she started to gather with us regularly to hear more about what we were about, because this was radically changing her life as we broke into her world with good news. She eventually came to faith in Jesus. And I remember the first time she went forward to take communion with all of us, and we all noticed because we knew there was a definitive difference in her life. And that started by just a regular engagement in eating at a restaurant and tipping it with gospel generosity, listening for a need to show up, knowing that when it showed up, we were going to be ready to step into it and care for her. And that's one of the things we're doing, is we're going to look around in the context we're in and say, what are the rhythms we could engage in? If we engage them consistently, how would we engage them in a way that would draw the attention to Jesus so they'd see this is a different kind of people, listen for the needs, and pray for gospel doors to be open? And that's a really key part of this, that it's not just engaging in the rhythms and doing it with regularity, but do it with regularity with open ears, listening for the needs and praying for an open door. And that's a real key aspect of incarnational ministry. You're saying, God, would you open a door for the gospel to be proclaimed and displayed? We want to both show it, and we want to both also tell it. So there's this demonstration and declaration of the gospel that we're after. And I usually encourage people that are starting a church plant or forming a core or getting in a community that's going to be on mission to ask themselves, what would it look like to demonstrate the truths of the gospel in such a way that it would demand the declaration of the gospel? So you live in such a way that demands a gospel explanation, and you pray that God would open those doors. And I've found there's a variety of ways that God opens doors as you're on the incarnational mission that he sends you on.
Let's close in prayer.
What I love about Jeff is he's so clear in his articulation.
Oh, my goodness.
That it's not only him painting the vision, but him giving personal examples as well.
Well, one of the things that I wrote on my notes is power of story. What an amazing tool to use in discipleship is the power of story. And it wasn't something I thought of until we were listening to it. And, you know, you have a chance to focus. It's whenever he speaks, he uses story really well. And that's something that we can do as well. I mean, you know, this session wasn't about using story, but that was certainly a great example of how all that culminated in what he wanted to convey. Because, you know, he was basically saying, if you want to be incarnational, you have to exegete the culture. So many times we, as pastors, want to exegete the text. And, you know, when he was talking about, if you want to be incarnational, if you want to be a different type of church plant, you've got to exegete the culture. So, you know, what are the natural rhythms of life? What are people longing for? What is their need? And then how can we show Jesus in that particular context? That was my, all my key takeaways in one blah.
I love that. And in the Essential Church Planting course, this audio snippet was really just a little bit of his full lecture in module 13. And in the rest of that module, he talks about different ways that God opens the door for the gospel. He talks about how to live as a missionary in your community. He gives some more stories, examples, and principles around that. And ultimately, he lands the plane by talking about normalizing mission in the life of your church. Now, the importance of that is, as long as your church sees mission as something that a department does or something that a few select holy people do, you'll never transition your church to becoming missional. Now, what he does and what he's, you got to pick up his book, Saturate. I mean, take a look at this module. He talks about engaging in mission in the everyday stuff of life. He normalizes it, not only for average disciple, but for a church.
Well, what I think was really powerful too, and he didn't say this exactly, but one of my takeaways was this: you have to walk into someone's life before you ask them to walk into your church.
That's good.
I'm going to tweet that later.
Yeah.
but that was the summation of what I was walking away with, because he says, in a sense, you're showing them what disciple looks like even before the discipleship looks like, even before they're a disciple.
Yeah.
He said, be consistent, be generous, go with open ears, and that will eventually lead to open doors.
Awesome. Well, today, if you go to newchurches.com/essentialchurchplanting, go to unlock the entire course, create an account if you haven't done so already. If you already have an account, then just log in and enter this coupon code to get 10% off the purchase price, all right? So the coupon code is, no spaces, all right? This is the coupon code, best deal of the week. All right, so best deal of the week is the coupon code. And if you purchase today, you will get 10% off the purchase price. But also, the first 10 to purchase are going to get a limited edition New Churches Bluetooth speaker.
Hey, and I do want to say something really quickly. Mm-hmm. Normally, if this is the first time you're listening to this podcast, because, you know, we put a heavy emphasis on this week and you just happened upon it, this is not the normal.
Yeah. This is a special week.
This is a special week, and it all is tied to, you know, one specific thing that we've seen a lot of people benefit from and engage with. So normally there's not, you know, a push to content every week or anything like that. It's this is just a special week and a very special course that has gone really well, and we want to expose more people to it.
Awesome. Thank you for that caveat. So be sure to subscribe to our podcast in iTunes or in your favorite podcast listening app so that you get every episode delivered right to you, and so that you can listen to tomorrow's episode on developing your core group from Sean Lovejoy, and also to know what the special deal is for tomorrow. So we'll see you tomorrow.
See ya.